Dom DeMarco.
Welcome to It's Up There Podcast, your number one place for business and podcasting. Ranked number 36 in the motherfucking world. Sit back, turn up the volume on your phone, and enjoy the show with your homie and host, Big Loon.
Thank you for watching another episode of It's Up There Podcast with your boy, I Am, your active and attractive host for another episode of the fastest growing podcast on the market right now. We are ranked number 36 in the world in regards to music category for podcasts. And we blessed. We definitely want to say thank you to all the supporters. Thank you to the people that's always tapped in. We got some bad news to share with our supporters. But we gonna, of course, fight through, you know. We not as happy as we could be because of the situation, but we'll push through. What happened is, for those of you guys that don't know, lately, I've been on live with Benzino, Queens Flip, people like that, on Instagram Live. So it was a very interesting situation in regards to transgender bathrooms. And the situation that I wasn't necessarily involved in, but I kind of hosted the situation, right? In regards to these people were having a conversation about, well, you shouldn't come in the bathroom. You're a man. You're trying to come in a woman's bathroom. And it got very, very heated. The fans of some of those people went and reported my channel. They reported my channel back to back to back to back to back. So we've lost the YouTube channel. Now, I've created another YouTube channel. I actually have two YouTube channels now. One is It's Up There Podcast YouTube channel. One is FOGFO TV again. I made it again because a lot of the branding and a lot of the marketing money that's already been spent is attached to FOGFO TV. This is why it's important to have your own platforms, right? And we're also uploading everything we have onto Patreon because no one can take our Patreon away. So if you want to keep up with this, you have to subscribe to Patreon. Sometimes we talk about topics and we take a point of view that may or may not be acceptable in regards to how people are going to receive it. So you got to be, if you really in tune with it, you got to be in tune with it. We got to take it behind a paywall or they're going to continue to do this, right? If we disagree with them. But nonetheless, right now, go subscribe to FOGFO TV on YouTube. It should pop up. There's two, again, channels. There's an It's Up There Podcast channel. There's an FOGFO TV new channel. Subscribe to both just in case they continue to do this. If you're listening to the audio version of the podcast, then you go there and we will upload all the episodes in a playlist. But we just lost. That's money for us. I was getting 200,000 views. 200,000-300,000 views a month. They're easy, right? But it don't stop none. We gonna hustle through it. This is what happens, right? And this is when they try to break you down. See, you gotta look for the breakdown. You gotta look for the attack, because they don't want your heart. They don't want your money. They want your mind. They want me to believe that it's too hard for me to do it again. They want me to look at it and say that the obstacle is too difficult. I don't have the time. I don't have the... No, I look at the thing and say, let's do it again. We'll do it again. Right? And it's not, we're not going to sit back and cry about it. You know, we did lose some stuff that was there and only there, right? Couple of interviews I had that was there that I got to see if I still have the interviews, because before I started to buy these 100 terabyte hard drives, I would upload it to YouTube and use that as kind of like a cloud for me. So I think some of the Charleston White clips are there. It's some stuff that was there, but we should be able to find it, man, and recover the file. So again, if you out there, man, go subscribe to the Patreon. It's Up There Podcast Patreon. We are starting our OnlyFans documentary over there. please subscribe to It's Up There Podcast YouTube channel and FOGFO TV YouTube channel. All right, let's get into the show. There's a lot to talk about. So much going on in the world. And I'm fresh off seeing the Afghanistan shit. So I'm fresh off the Afghanistan debacle, you know, with us leaving Afghanistan in such a way. I want to be clear about some things, because you, if you know me, you know I'm tapped into a lot of different things, not just hip hop, rap, and the beef and all that. You know, I'm in tune there because I gotta operate with the guys that with this mindset. So it's important for me to always be able to gauge the level of engagement that's needed to leave this area the same way we came, right? So I always gotta be on high alert. That's just how it is, and that's how it'll forever be until I go get some kind of therapy and change the surroundings that I've been involved with for a very long time, right? Dog eat dog world where I come from. Ain't no type of nothing. Everybody, yeah, you see? So I look at the Afghanistan stuff, man, and I want to be clear on this. This is Trump's plan. Nobody's saying that, but that's a fact. This is Trump's plan that Joe Biden is carrying out. He didn't withdraw from the plan. It feels funny, man. Even though I don't have a dog in the fight, and some people say, well, Loon, they done bombed us. They done all kind of stuff over there, and I get that. But I always got a problem with the tomfoolery, right? I got a problem when you can use me. You can use me, right? For my intel, for what I know, because before we even talk about that, we got to understand what's happening or what took place. You got to know how hard it is for you to go into a country where you have very limited intel and take over the country. You need help. And I ain't talking money and guns. We got that. We got more money and guns than we can ever need. I'm talking about you need intel. Well, now you see the little boys that come through and on the horses, or with they AKs be in their backpacks. You don't know. So like those things that you cannot know unless you're boots on the ground. I don't care. You got this bird's eye view of things. You're not going to know certain intel. So what felt bad for me, or felt bad to me, and it may be because I'm an American and we got blacks over here in America got these feelings about don't do people wrong because we've been done wrong. It's a mindset. It's a dangerous mindset because people have no sympathy when their mind is made up, right? People have no sympathy. Sometimes we'll think that people are somewhere grab some sympathy, and that's just not how it works. Nonetheless, the idea that when we come over there, some of those people turned on the very people that they were afraid of, that was in control. They turned on them and helped us. I think it's 88,000 people. And what was so crazy about it to me is after we left all them people, right, Joe Biden came out and said, listen, there's 300,000. They have 300,000 personnel, army personnel, and we left this amount of guns. Taliban only have 30,000. So they can handle the Taliban, basically, is the sentiment that he's basically was saying. They can handle the Taliban. And this is why I say people that make certain decisions, they don't incorporate all of these politicians, really business, they never incorporate feelings. And I think the more and more that we get integrated with AI, you're going to have to start thinking about feelings. You're going to have to start incorporating how to make somebody feel, right? Or people's feelings. He totally ignored, in my opinion. He totally ignored the years and years of destruction in regards to, yo, it's a mental thing. And people ask, well, Loon, why they take over so fast? And see, you got to respect the natural order of things, right? The way the brain works, the way the mind is structured. You got to respect it, right? But you got to remember, The Taliban has had a hold, a very tight grip on the outlook of the safety of these people. These people feel like they can't protect themselves. These people are more dangerous than us. It's almost like Mike Tyson. I know four people that won't fight Mike Tyson. Like, I'm saying all four of them at once simply because the mindset. Now, they making whoop Tyson. But what they have seen Tyson do. What they've, you know, they can't ignore their eyes. They've saw him knock people out in 10 seconds. Knock folks out that was way bigger than him and hit hard and then making this noise when he hit the bag. It's like, what? Like, they dealing with that. So, it's no way that they going to stand up like, y'all just left us. Like, and we been telling them folks stuff about you. Like, them folks done busted in people houses and captured folks and killed people because we gave them information. Now y'all dipped on us. And again, it's something wrong with the human brain, man. It's something wrong with the human brain. My mama always taught me at a young age that, let's say a dude push up on you, right, when I was young, you know, kidnap you. You know what I mean? Mama always told me, say he put the gun or the knife or whatever on you and say get in the car. Man, you don't go get in the car. What you think? What you think he gonna do? Get you in the car and now I just wanted to talk to you. No, he finna take you somewhere where he can kill you in peace. You see what I'm saying? So, but the human brain sometimes, and the reason I say that is because the human brain sometimes, when it's, especially when it's scared of somebody, right? When it's nervous and in fear of consequences, it tends to think that if I just give in, it'll give mercy. You see what I'm saying? In regards to like a motherfucker walk you over to a hole and tell you to jump in it, finna bury you alive, and you jump in and you keep begging them, no, please, no. And in the mind, somewhere down the line, and it's a study on this, I forgot the name of the study, this person is laying there would actually think that because he's crying or doing this, that they're gonna change their mind and say, all right, man, get out. I'm sorry, dude. It's not gonna happen. So these people that we've left in Afghanistan that's helped us is dealing with a mental warfare that they've dealt with. They were scared the whole time. The only reason they was doing all that is because y'all was there. Then they left, man. They were so, it were people so scared, man, they were falling to their death, man. They were chasing, and I'm probably gonna put a picture behind what I'm saying right now. They were chasing the airplane to the point of they were holding on the airplane. Just think about the idea to think you're gonna hold on this jet. You're going to hold on and fly to America. And this is a 5-hour flight in the they got the fastest jets in the world. Maybe a day, 16-hour flight or something. You're going to hold on that long in the air, that high up, and make it to, like, that's a dangerous thing, bro. They was falling to their death, man. But they came out of desperation, trying to force yourself on the plane. It's like, yo, we helped y'all leaving us. But we deal with it even on a regular level. Like, you help somebody, you show them the way, and then they be the ones that bite your hand. You be like, how you doing this to me when I showed you how to walk? You were crawling. I showed you how to walk, and now we in a situation where you, oh man, it's the same thing. United States out of there. Now, United States position is, yo, we went there a long time ago for one thing, and that's to get the people that attacked us. But we got to really, really understand something. We've been at war for a long time. We've been dealing with wars and the fog of wars for a long time. So we know the consequences of war. We know it ain't just go over here, bomb, and get out. We know it take more than that, and we know what's involved with it. We know that it's catastrophic what happens when we come over with some of the outlooks we have, some of the change that we present, some of the pushback we receive. You understand me? We understand that. So don't they trying to let the general public know, listen, we was there longer than we needed to be there, period. We shouldn't have been there that long. You understand? But me and my homeboy was talking about the Taliban. You got to think, the Taliban is the dog food motherland. I'm sorry, Afghanistan is the dog food motherland. That Middle East outlet over there, that's the dog food motherland. So with them taking over, you know, me and my partner were talking like, man, they probably going to flood it to try to get them back. Same, see, they Chapo showed, allegedly Chapo showed them what warfare was when they kept bothering him. And they are blaming him and saying that he sent the fentanyl over here in response to that. Right? So Taliban in control of the dog food. We don't know what may happen with that. And it's already tampered with. They like it like that now. The game done changed to the point where they want you to be a chemist. A real one, though. Like, get it right, though. I want a little of that in it. Not too much to knock me down, but definitely a little fin in there now. You understand? And that's how they do it. And it's unfortunate, but it's going to be some repercussions off this. The Taliban is taking over and saying, hey, go back to wearing no jeans and all that. Where will we wear? You know the disdain they got to have. Yeah, they may not do nothing right now. But that's the problem. These folk breed hatred for 20 years and then do something. And I was thinking the other day, how long will America last as the, because every great nation falls. It's, see, people that's just now born, they don't care about history, long care about history. England was on top for a long time. Like, this thing ain't always been, man, the Middle East culture is the oldest culture, period. And people look at their food and they think that it look nasty. Man, they've been cooking for longer than everybody. They know something, trust me. But I don't eat it either. But I'm just saying, when you think about culture, bro, this stuff is way more United States, you know, although I hope it does, because this is where my family resides and I need my people to continue to thrive. But every nation falls, I'll be dumb to ignore the facts. And we better watch China. You know, I heard the other day, people asked, well, why we won't bomb North Korea or go at North Korea or invade to change something, South Korea, whichever one it was. And the reason is because China has a heavy interest in North Korea, and a war with them means a war with China, and we don't really want a war with China because the relationship is so profitable and we really don't know who will win it. But the relationship, we think we'll win it, right? Of course. But the relationship is so profitable that a war may cripple the economy with China, you know. But yeah, man, to see them Afghanistan people falling to their deaths and all that, man, that was a rough thing to deal with. I said, man, that's kind of crazy right there. So that was just something I wanted to talk about. I also want to say the power of Google, man. The power of Google and what it has done. I can tell somebody something, like my old lady. We talking, right? And we have a dog. I love the dog. I love my little dog. I mean, he's my buddy. I talk about him all the time on here. His name's Mello. He's a little white dog. I don't know the name of the kind of dog, right? My old lady, she knows. I don't know, but he's a little white dog, and he lays under me. He shows me mad love. It's my guy, right? You see, for a long time, I didn't think I can love something that don't talk to me. And he's taught me that communication, as heavy as I am on it, as much as I lean on it, it's not as necessary as one would think, right? Because when he sees me, I feel him, right? He comes and runs up on me, and everybody in the house feels him. That's how he is. He messes with everybody. If you do something to him or something, you can tell that he's avoiding this person, or, like, you can tell with him. But nonetheless, he's been having some issues, I guess, where he wasn't using the bathroom, right, or eating. And I get afraid when things happen because I'm an extremist. I take things to the extreme. Right? I don't play. I don't do the little, oh, let's just fight. No, I want to break your neck. I want to try to kill you out here with my bare hand. Right? That's just who I am. And then I also look at you like you don't want to play with me. You want to hurt me bad. Right? Some people play. I don't play. So when it happened, I instantly, oh man, you better take him to the vet, man. I don't want him to die. You know, that's my first thing about, you know, because unfortunately, that's the way that my mind works. So the power of Google. So she go to Google and stuff. And, you know, I'm in my studio, so I don't know what she's doing. I'm working. So, you know, in and out, going downstairs over here doing stuff. So I'm not really paying attention. So one time I walk in there where his stuff at. I look over at his bowl, his dog bowl, and she got a salad in the dog bowl. I'm talking about he got, you know, first I thought, well, maybe that ain't his dog bowl, maybe that's trash, right? So I walk on past, then I double back and actually look at it, and I'm like, that looked like a salad. So I had to ask, so what's going on with, what's this stuff you got? Well, I was looking online and it says that maybe his digestive system needed some carrots and such and such. And I'm like, okay, bam. But the first thing I thought was the power of Google, man. So if you know how to put stuff on Google, hit me up. I hire you. Cause I need to start putting a little bit more things on Google because that is now the human dictionary. People run there and they would literally try it without even checking it twice. The first thing that pops up, it might say, you might say how to deal with a burn. It might say, get in your car, drive down to the interstate, park on the side, run across. If you can run from this side to that side and not get hit, your burn will go away. People have tried it. I'm telling you, dog. But it seemed to have worked because he started, you know. But I'm just saying, it's like Russian roulette with Google. You pull something off and try it, and it work or it don't work. You see what I'm saying? So it's a hell of a thing. Let's talk about DJ Vlad. For those of you that don't know, DJ Vlad does pay the people that comes on his platform, which places him in a situation to, number one, legally own that content. See, because the fight can come down the road. I didn't know this. I never agreed. You know, so he getting that out the way. And he also paying them for their services, which I'm sure some of those guys can appreciate, because he takes some of the older people that story may not be as relevant today as it was back then, and he kind of gives them a little more traction as to what's going on, right? And so for you to get a few, you know, 5,000 or something like that for a little interview, that's cool for some of them guys. You know, that'll help out. But this last situation, him and Turk end up getting into a situation about a caption. The caption reads, Turk says he cheated in jail, won't confirm whether man or woman. What Turk was doing was doing what's called in this business a cliffhanger, right? It's where you give a juicy part of the story, leave the end off, and say, go get this to get the rest of the story, right? That's what that's called. It's called a cliffhanger. So he was doing one of those, and Vlad named it that, right? Now, here's the tricky part. Number one, Vlad doesn't give any of these guys his number. They have a Google subscribe number, which I respect it, because anytime you want to cut them off, it's very easy to do so. Plus, with someone's phone number, you get a lot more information than just a phone number. You get a lot more information than just a phone number, right? Let's be clear on that. And Turk didn't like it, you know, didn't like the fact that he entitled it that, so he reached out to him. Vlad wasn't answering him for a long time. Then Vlad answered him like, yo, but that's literally what you said. And Turk's like, we got to control our own platforms, do a podcast, this, that, and the third. I think, and I also see the correlation between, I know Vlad signed iHeart because he always get that iHeart look, which is a good thing for him, and he does a great job with his SEO. You click one of his videos, or you click somebody that he may interview, that dude stuff is popping up. So whoever's running that's doing a good job. The culture doesn't like what Vlad does in regards to some of these things. They think that it's overwhelming. I'm not sure how to feel about it. Like, but you don't play with a man's sexuality. If you know, I don't put that up on me. And I think, as long as he's paying them guys, I think he got very little respect for him, especially with someone like Turk. I think once I get your story once, I don't need you to double back. I got your whole band. If I call you up here and talk to you about something that happened in the 90s, I don't need you to come back. Because once I got that once, you're done. I don't need you to come back. I talked to you about Babe and Kissing Birdman and how that is and what that's about and coming up with Lil Wayne and some of the stories, the gonorrhea thing, the prison, this, that. I talked to you about all that. What we going to talk about now? Your podcast? Not interested in talking about that. That's Vlad in position. You know, and Vlad and Adam 22 it seemed like they work together. You know, they may or may not, but it's just an interesting situation. I think Turk, when he said with a woman, right? And let's play it and then y'all take from it what you may. Damn, here go another one. Turk on Birdman kissing him. Every man plays gay games with his friends. Turk on cheating on his girl in prison. Won't say with man or woman. See all these gay undertones. With the
tank, we can look again. See the people.
You see all these gay undertones?
Well, you originally got 14 years, so you managed to shave some time.
I originally got 22 years. I had got 10 years because I took the feds to trial.
Okay, so they try to give you 22 years. They ultimately sent you to 14.
They gave me 22 years.
Aha. Uh-huh.
I got found guilty in the feds. I had 10 years in the feds because I took them to trial. They offered me 51 months. But I didn't take the 51 months because if I took the 51 months, they got an easy lawsuit. That's how I was thinking. I'm guilty if I plead out, you know. But I hadn't been out 30-something months. They offered me 51 months. You know, me being like, man, y'all don't got nothing on me if y'all offer me 51 months. But that's just the that's how they get it out, man. They just want a conviction. But me being dumb and young, you know what I'm saying? I say, no, we gonna take it to trial. You know, so bam, I went to trial, got found guilty, got 120 months. The state wind up giving me an alpha plea of 14 years. But that 14 was to run concurrent with the 10. You know what I'm saying? They reneged on, was it 14 or 12? One of them, I don't know, whatever. Yeah, it was 12. Yeah, they gave me a 12, my bad. They gave me a 12-year sentence in the state, and it was to run concurrent with the feds. You know what I'm saying? Now, in the process of that, my understanding was I'd be doing all my time in the Bureau of Prison, you know, and I made sure that we had it on transcript. You know what I'm saying? They reneged on the deal. That's how I was able to get my time back, because when it went to the appellate court, I'm on transcript saying, no, my understanding is the 12 years concurrent is an alpha plea in my best interest. I'm not saying I'm guilty, but if I go to trial, I can get more time. So I'm going to take this 12. If y'all going to run it concurrent with that 10, I'm just doing a 10-year sentence in the feds. So that's how I was able to get the time back. When I get the time back, I hadn't been down 8 years, 8 months, 16 days. I done did 85% of the 120 months. You know what I'm saying? Bam, I came home. I was on 5-year paper in the state, 3-year supervised release. I walked it down. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I wind up getting my situation behind me, man. But, you know, my girl, man, she stood down the whole time, man. Like, you know, shout out to Imani, man. You know, 8 years, 8 months, 16 days is a long time for anybody to stay loyal to a person that they only met for 2 months. We was together 2 months, bro. And she told me when she came to visit that she wasn't going nowhere. And I'm like, whatever, you feel me? I was cheating in prison, Vlad. I was cheating.
All right, here it is.
In prison. You probably like, how you were cheating in prison? I cheated in prison. You feel me? People don't understand that the only thing you can't do in prison is go home. But you have access to any and everything, especially if you got a name. You know what I'm saying? So she still stood down with me. I speak about this situation in my book, The Autobiography of Turk. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to speak on it. Y'all got to get my book if y'all want to know about it. But I cheated on my girl in prison, man. You feel me?
All right.
And out of that situation.
I just want to clarify, because people go crazy in the comments. You're cheating with women in prison, right?
Man, I cheated, man. Like, if you know, I cheated. You know, like if you want to know how I cheated, you know, go to lulu.com and get the book. I speak about it. But, you know, for her to stay down with me, Vlad.
See that? And then, again, that was the answer. But that was one of those cliffhanger things I was talking about. Let's see what else we want to talk about. And me and my homeboy was talking about Turk case. You know, Turk ended up getting, as you heard him say, I think 14 years, something to do with shooting at the police through the door. They didn't know who it was. I remember when it happened. But we was just talking about the way that the perception has changed with rappers. You know, back then, it seemed like that the government may have catered a little bit more to that you was a celebrity and maybe not as gave you as much time as they would have gave a regular civilian. Now it's flipped. Now the rappers get more time than regular people. But back then, well, just think about it. Celebrities and rappers, like the Tupac situation, whether it's true or not, is still, that's off the table. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about the level of punishment that was attached to the issue. You know, Snoop got off tip. Up until recently, I think with Boosie and people like that is when it started to change, where they started to say, nah, these rap dudes playing too much. You know, they got a bunch of niggas before him, low-level kind of guys. But I think with him and kind of with the BMF, they kind of started coming into rap. Like, after the, I don't know really what after. I mean, they was around when the 50 Cent shit was going on, the Feds and stuff, Hip Hop Police. But I'm trying to think what made them start. Or who was really like the first rapper they really took it out on? I think it might have been Boosie. Now that I'm thinking about it, probably was Boosie. But nonetheless, dog, it's just crazy how now that if you're a rapper, you get more time than some regular dude. You don't get no type of love or leeway now. You know, matter of fact, they hold you responsible for things you may not even have nothing to do with, just based on who you associated with and who your people is. So rappers, they treat rappers like kingpins, you know. And we know a lot of the rap dudes ain't kingpins. They ain't even tied to nobody. That's tied to nobody. But you know, it's a cat and mouse game for them. They want to stop the power, because even though the young dude ain't tied to nobody, somebody that's tied to somebody might wrap their arms around them, which still gives them access to power. You know, the government is afraid of people that has access to power and unafraid of going to prison. Right? Just think, the only thing they can tell you is we sending you to jail. And when that don't matter, they think they dealing with a savage. That's uncomfortable. The worst thing you can do to me, I can handle that. That don't mean anything. That's uncomfortable. So they gotta circumvent that and try to throw certain labels on you and put you on death row and try to give you the needle and make you a political prisoner, you know, and these kind of things. So it's warfare, you know, it's warfare. And I watch it every time.
But sometimes, man, like with Shakara Richardson, sometimes that, man, we so busy in the middle of being divided, man, that I keep telling y'all, man, people don't know what a win look like. It's so many people that think they winning. It's so many people that perspective is off. You don't even know what a win look like, right? Now, of course, this isn't a win for Shakara, right? But the people that I see fighting online is black people. These are black people going back and forth about which black person is better. In my opinion, I just say, hey, somebody black won. Let's keep it moving. But we can find things to fight about, right? We're going to find something to go back and forth about, you know, in our culture. We just look for shit. You know what I'm saying? Now, with that being said, I think that it is unfortunate that you come in last after some controversy like that. See, you set yourself up. You can set yourself up for scrutiny. Even when you are the favorite or people look at you a certain way, those other people are just waiting on a chance. They're just waiting on a chance to say, look, I told you, look, he ain't what y'all think he is. Look, I told y'all. I told y'all he ain't what y'all think he is. And so what they trying to do is they trying to influence the minds of people that look at you in a good light. But had you never placed yourself in that situation, they'll find something to scrutinize you about, but it won't be that. Some people jump on the fence when you're in that situation where it's like, you smoked? You smoked weed when you had to go on you in the Olympics? What are you doing? Some people has that mindset because that shows a certain level of immaturity. But what she said was that she was grieving, right? So, hey, man, I can't tell nobody how to grieve. I seen a couple people give a pushback and say, nah, we ain't buying that, you know. But again, just like with the Moneybagg Yo and Ari, what do you expect her to say? Yeah, man, I just wanted to go home and get bullied. It's not going to happen. It's just not how things work, right? So a lot of times I find out information, but I don't ask the person about it, especially if it puts them in a negative light. What do you expect them to say to me when I found this out, right? Something that you've clearly thought you tucked away. Something that you thought you hid that nobody will know, or at least I wouldn't know because you think it'll affect the way I interact with you. But when I find this out, I don't expect you to give me the rundown on it. 9 times out of 10, you don't want me to view you that way. So you're not going to just say, yeah, this is the situation, this what happened, and be truthful. Right? But what's funny is when you have all of the information, not some of it, and you operate around that, and then you go ask a person, right, hey, what's up with this situation? And you see them try to dance around what you know, you already know the truth for this. It's a weird thing to see somebody try to, instead of just being like, yeah, that was a mistake. That was a mistake. Period. You understand? Sometimes it just takes that. You can't try to justify it. And some people have a problem with justifying things in their mind. No matter what, they find a way to justify it. No matter what it is. And people have to understand that sometimes sorry isn't enough. You say sorry if you walk in and kick my drink and my waterfall, you know, things like that. You don't say sorry for certain things, but some people have grew up in environments where sorry has had a lot of weight that it didn't have outside of that household. Because you held accountable in the real world for what you do. It ain't no sorry. If you go have a drink and you accidentally hit someone and killed them, they will charge you with vehicular homicide. You could be as sorry as you want to be. You're responsible for what just happened there. Right? But in your mind, you can justify it. No, it was she walked out. I wasn't even that drunk. It wasn't the right. And these are the things that people deal with. And it's weird to me when you on the outside of it and you look at it and you be like, yo, are you seriously justifying something this crazy? You see what I'm saying? And in our community, sometimes we fall victim to that. Like, we can't, you can't always find a reason why it's okay for you to do things. You see what I'm saying? Now, if you have a real reason, like, no, this happened, which caused this to happen, you know, and maybe what you did in response was, you know, maybe immature child, is toxic, whatever it may be. But at least there's an action that caused a reaction. You have people justifying things that has no, it's not a reaction in anything. It's just their move, and they're justifying it ahead of time. Right. And so, you know, I hate to see us all go about like, yo, this black person better than this black person. Like, yo, if I'm not mistaken, it might have been all black women out there. Like, I'm not sure. It may have been, and I'm not sure, but it was unfortunate to come in last, because in a lot of people's mind, that speaks to the lack of preparation. And then when you compound that with the failed drug test, people try to say, well, I see what you're spending your time doing, right? I don't know what it takes to run. I don't know, can you work on your legs and make yourself fat? Like, I really don't know much about that, so I can't speak to the preparation of it. But nonetheless, shout out to all them. And I do want to say this, the women from these other cultures, right? You know, Caribbeans and, you know, Jamaicans and things like that. These women, they different kind of women, right? As far as what I'm seeing, I haven't dealt with any of them, but I'm saying, far as when I just on the outside looking in, when they asked the lady that won about Shakara, she said, I have no comment. She played it super cool. Now, I'm not sure if it was the other way around would have been the response to that, right? But the idea that I just whooped her, or she just came in last, she wasn't even nowhere near me, and then they asked me this to try to create some division, give the internet something to... Why would you... First of all, think about this. Why would you ask me about the last place person? They never get brought up in an interview. That the person that came in last, they never get brought up to the winner of the contest. This is a tactic. This is drawn out. And that's what people's problem is too. They can't see what's happening. They can only react to what's being asked of them or what's being placed in front of them. You have to have a 360 view of what's going on to understand what the moves are next, right? So when they come, the first thing your mind got to ask you is, why would they ask the person that came in first about the person that came in last? I'll tell you why. They asked her about that because the person that came in last was Shakara Richardson. So it was less about the placement of the individual and more about the person that was in that place, right? So now I want to create some sort of sound bite or some sort of thing between y'all. And she just is like, I have no comment. I have no comments. Because this is why I say it might not be the same if Shakara done it, because they asked Shakara about her one time. And she says, I'm not intimidated. They know what I can do. Like, she has a totally different vibe. And see, sometimes our women, man, like, it's rough because you don't know, right? Sometimes our women are under attack, and so they come off with this whole, like, tough, like, you know. And that's not it. That's not appealing. Right? That's not appealing. I'm talking about, it's appealing when you're dealing with athletics, when you're dealing with competitions and trying to be competitive. It's important there. But when a man is just viewing you in your essence, some of our women and some women in totality carried this burden with them, where for some reason that they're not soft. They just like, they almost like you. Like, oh, she just said what I would have said if they put the camera on me and I'm talking about hooping, man, I'm coming out here to dunk on him. He know I ain't studying him, right? It's like, what the? So being soft, man, and being submissive and being, you know. And I know it could be rough, I guess. I don't know. But that's what I'm attracted. I'm not attracted to no gladiator. I'm not attracted to no warrior. Like, you too, like, whoa, like. And a lot of women don't know this. They think that that's showing being strong. But only the strong can show compassion. Only the strong can show compassion. So if you are the being the person that's not doing all of that, and you trying to bring things down, like, hey, you cannot be a gladiator and think you appeal to a real man. It just don't work like that. We don't care about how much money you make. We don't care about the job you got. We don't care about how good you did with any of that. None of that matters. What matters is it cool to be around you? Is it all right? When we come there, is it peaceful? Is it a situation that I enjoy being there? Am I on my toes? Can I relax? Right? Is it comfortable for me? And I imagine on the other side is, you know, she's feeling some of the same things, but also, am I protected with him? Am I safe? Does he make me laugh? Am I bored around him? Like, these things really come into play when we talk about being attracted to one another, man. So Shakara, her whole thing, what she said was, I ain't intimidated by her. You know, we gonna get it going. It is what it is. And she wasn't disrespectful. And I wouldn't say she done anything wrong right there, because it is an athletic competition. But I just spoke more to women operating outside of those arenas, right, with that type of attitude and swagger about them. But they may have, see, you pick up what's gave to you while you're on your journey. So if you got to go through the woods and you got to kill what you eat and you got to teach your baby cubs how to walk and how to talk, like, you may start to have this harder exterior. But that affects your ability to communicate with a man that could possibly tap into you. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's a sweet science. And it makes it rougher for women, right? It makes it rougher for women, because you got to be strong when you need to be strong and soft when you need to be soft. And the minute you confuse the two, they start affecting each other. If you're strong when you need to be soft, you start to run away the person that's depending on the softness of you. If you soft when you need to be strong, you start to run away the person that needs you to be strong. So that's what I'm saying. It's a dance that's happening that people don't need. People are literally, what I'm finding out as I'm getting older, is people are literally just living. They're not trying to really learn new things. They're not trying to figure themselves out. What makes me tick? What makes this thing, what makes me, they just living. I go to sleep, I wake up. I go to sleep, I wake up. I go to sleep, I wake up. Like, they're not tapping into no type of understanding of what it takes to be them, or how to better themselves. It's a reason why everybody I go around, a lot of the people that I go around have pretty good things to say about me. It's because I know my strengths and I know my weaknesses. So when I arrive, I try not to engage in things that puts me in a position to let you see my weaknesses. So I try to just revolve around my strengths, but it's because I know myself, right? And I work on my weaknesses in my own time, right? When things get rough on me and I have to go to where I go to get my information, I had to run the way I run to get my peace. That's my fight, right? But knowing yourself equips you with enough information about yourself to know which one of you you need to pull out for where you at. That's why I can go to ABC or I can go to BET. You dig? I can go to Revolt or I can go to, you dig what I'm saying? I can do either one because I know how to operate with what I got. And I'm not just throwing my emotions around like some people do. Men also had these issues. You know, we both have these issues when it comes to knowing when to be what you need to be. Because as a dude, you can do the same thing. You can be strong when she needs you to be a little more understanding. Sometimes as a man, you can't cut your strong off. Especially as a black man, we talk about being under attack. We being killed. We being undervalued. We being undermined. We being left out and looked over. And this is on every avenue of life right now. Black men are having the hardest time. But we got to operate with our heads high, right? And we can't never fold. I keep telling y'all, we got to be Superman. You see what I'm saying? But shout out to Shakara Richardson. Shout out to, you know what? I'm just thinking. I can't think of the girl name because all of the, the power of the media. This story is not about the winner. It's about Shakara losing. You know, they couldn't even, that's why I can't think of the girl name because I can't find it nowhere. Here's New York Times, Shakara Richardson loses. Here's LA Times, TMZ, Shakara Richards coming dead last. Shakara Richardson on Washington Post comes in last. You know what I'm saying? This is what everybody putting. Let's see who won it so I can get the lady name. But this is the New York Times I'm reading. Richardson was beaten badly, finishing last in a time of 11.14 seconds. That was more than half a second behind the time of Elaine Thompson. That's who won, of Jamaica. But she kept it so gangster. She never said nothing. She never said nothing again. And we know how they get down. They strong girls. They, you know, that's the whole, the blood clot. Them, yeah, that's they. You know how they give it up. So we know what they got in them. But you see how she held reserve right there. You see how she was elegant in that moment. That's what I'm saying, right? Some of us. You know, and it's important for us too, you know, guys, because we'll get up there and pop some, yeah, you know what going on, we're bringing it back to the times. And sometimes that ain't really, you know, that ain't bad because that ain't pitting you against somebody else. You can't bite the bait of you asking me. See, my question would have been to the reporter, why you asking me about somebody that placed last, but they would have took that. But I would have had to elaborate on that and say, is this a trick you guys are trying to do? Shout out to Shakara. But why? I've never heard y'all ask about the person that placed last in this event. Why would you? What are you trying to do here, sir? And then that would have blew that whole interview up. But, man, I just gave y'all a lot of game on all that. Let's talk about this. Amber Rose. So, let me find this clip. Hold up. This nigga here, wild. Amber Rose, nigga, wild. Watch this right here. She called him. See, and that's what I say. A lot of women, they don't even understand how good they got it. She caught this man with 12 different women, right? And shout out to whatever they doing. That's not my business. I'm more so speaking to somebody has to define cheating. Because what's happening is people that do some very frivolous and things that are harmless in the grand scheme of things are being thrown in the pot with guys that may or may not be really having intercourse with 8, 9, 10 different women, right? And I think that the definition of cheating is very lost upon us. And we got to reel it back in. But we got to define cheating, man. I'm on a mission to define cheating. Because we not finna keep letting people say that, you know,
because you got caught, somebody text you or you texting somebody and all that, that you got caught cheating. I think that's childish. I'm not sure that people are doing that, but I'm saying that's a strange thing. I think some people is lumping all this stuff in, and it don't deserve to be lumped in. If you've been cheated on, you've been cheated on. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully y'all can work through that. But stop trying to make it be what it ain't. You know what I'm saying? The definition need to be way more clear than it is. But let me find this right quick.
Like me, I fall victim to this. I meet bitches like me, I fall victim to this. You know what I'm saying? I get seduced. I got caught.
Amber Rose's boyfriend has admitted to cheating on her with 12 women. After the 37-year-old model claimed Alexander
with this Up There podcast,
the music executive confirmed the accusation while speaking to Big Vaughn on Instagram.
It's just who I am, and it's not how she want to be loved, nigga. So, you know, she tried to put up with it and look the other way if she couldn't, and I'm not mad at her.
Amber and AE were first romantically linked in October 2018, and the pair share a 1-year-old son, Slash. The model also has 8-year-old son, Sebastian, with her ex, Wiz Khalifa.
I love her. That's like my best friend and the son, the mother of my son. I love Bash, my stepson, and too.
He echoed his love for his family in a new statement to ET, saying, quote, "I am truly sorry for the hurt and humiliation I have caused Amber. I am sorry that my decisions have broke our family. Amber is an amazing woman, an amazing mother. She deserves to be loved how she wants to be loved. I was a bad boyfriend, but I'm a good man and a great father." He continued by saying, "I know we will both have days when it's hard, and I know it will get harder before it gets easier. However, our decision to end our relationship is equally liberating.
Things happen and things that you just can't control."
The drama all started when Amber wrote on Instagram that she's tired of getting cheated on and being embarrassed behind the scenes. Quote, "All 12 of y'all bums, the ones that I know of, there's probably more, can have them. Y'all very much knew he was in a relationship with a baby, and y'all decided to f*** him anyway. I saw all the texts and DMs. Y'all were well aware, and y'all don't owe me any loyalty, so it's whatever." While Amber refused to name the people involved, explaining she's not in the business of ruining lives, she said, quote, "The lack of loyalty and the disrespect is ridiculous, and I'm done.
These are the trials and tribulations that I've been through in my life, and I learned from them."
She also revealed that she's tired of being mentally and emotionally abused by people that I love, writing, quote, "I've been suffering in silence for a long time, and I can't take it anymore. That's why I've been so quiet. I've been a shell of who I used to be, but I refuse to let anyone damage me anymore, family or not.
I just try to be strong for my son."
While speaking to Big Vaughn, Alexander claims he can't help his actions.
"I love my woman, but I also love myself. And that was the conflict that, you know, I would give in to my desires, and I desired other things at times."
AE also claimed that Amber texted him saying she'd take him back if he apologized publicly, but nothing will change his ways.
"I don't want to force it, and I don't want to keep putting her in positions that she's, you know, I don't want her to have to look over her shoulder and feel like every time my phone go off, it's number 13 or 14, you know."
So it sounds like he don't give a fuck no more. Excuse my language. I have to stop cussing. But it sounds like he ain't studying it. And clearly, if he's literally allegedly sleeping with 12 other women, then he's not studying it. But at some point, we got to ask ourselves what drives a man that way. Clearly, something is going on with that. Right? But I want to speak about more so the tremendous job that Amber Rose must have did for all of the women out there that like to investigate. There's a thorough investigation that took place if you found 12 women that your dude had sex with. This is not a situation where you stumbled up on it. I'm not sure if 12 people would have came to you at the same time, so you went looking. The thing about going looking is that it needs to be compounded with something. Because when you go and look, you always got to consider, what if you find? So it needs to be compounded with a decision. See, at first I didn't think that she was gone. But if you go in there and you find your dude sleeping, having sex with 12 women, there has to be a move after that. Meaning either y'all have to lock in closer and figure this out, what's going on. You have to leave. Something has to happen. What happens a lot of time, though, from men and women, is that people go looking for things without even wanting a resolve of any kind. They just want to argue. They just want to fight. It just wants to be a problem, right? They looking for a problem. That's what they doing. They in your phone. They looking for an issue. They looking for something that they can argue about. They not really interested in ending it. You know, they not interested in fixing what causes you to do that. They just want to fight and make you feel like something you did was wrong. And for me, it's unfortunate. You know, it's unfortunate. Another thing about this situation that's interesting is, and that I can relate to, is that you got to be careful, because people are used against you the fact that you. And what I mean by that is people are used against you the fact that they know that you don't want to look embarrassed to the people that watch you or look up to you or embrace you or for the sake of your brand or whatever it may be. So a lot of times they take you through hell behind the scenes because they know everybody look at you like a big dog. So you ain't going to go tell people that you dealing with such low level bullshit. People use you against you. You see what I'm saying? The fact that you know that, say like this, say you in a relationship, right? You somebody that people would love to be with. It's people under your pictures every day. There's people that's really sending kites through your friends, that's trying to lock in with you. And these are people, reputable people, right? You in a relationship, you being treated horrible. But you got to keep, because you don't want people, you don't want people to know, right? So she in a situation where she know her dude got 12 different women. But I'm Amber Rose. So, damn, he using me against me. He probably done got bold with it, too. Ain't even hiding it no more. Because when she caught the eighth one, she not moving on it. It's embarrassing if she go out and say, hey, listen, I'm Amber Rose, the one y'all think a bad bitch. My dude got 12 other women. So I ain't doing something right in the bedroom or something. Or he just is one of them dudes that just got an issue. But most grown men can be held down by somebody that's in tune with their sex appeal and they grown up activities, you know, most men. But what oftentimes happens is you think you're doing the job you're not doing. You think you giving what you're not giving. You think it's giving top notch, you know, and it's giving bottom feeder. You see what I'm saying? But you don't know that. And then a lot of times the guy won't communicate with you because your emotions is attached to the outcome of the conversation. Too many times we put emotions in places they don't got no business. The emotions ain't got no business close to the facts. Emotions don't got no business close to the facts. So if I'm dealing with facts, allow me to deal with facts. It don't got nothing to do with how you feel. I keep saying, it's my 10th time saying, how you feel ain't got nothing to do with what you know. Them two different things. You see what I'm saying? I feel like you cheating. I feel like you don't love me. But everything I've done, I've showed you what the vibration was. You need to accept the reality of life and quit playing yourself. Because that's what happens with people. We play ourselves. And it's easy to play yourself when you put your emotions where they don't belong. They don't belong next to the facts. So you use the fact against a person that people are going to think like what I said. Wow, you know, how can you have Amber Rose? Everybody thinks she's beautiful. They think she's her body got a nice body. They think, you know, a lot of people dream girl. A lot of these internet weirdo guys, they want to, that's their dream girl.
and the guy that she chooses to love has 12 different women. I'm trying to tell you that people will use you against you. No, you don't want to go telling people that's how, that's what's going on. It's just like a dude. You don't want to tell them people, man, you don't get nothing, man. That you think some of these NBA guys that's married and rich and people look at like this and that, and they got the kind of wives that don't do nothing for them, you think they can come out and say that? Nah, they want to come out holding a hand, smiling like, hey, we living good. But a lot of times they dealing with people that ain't even effective in their life in any way. See, a relationship is a tag team. It ain't supposed to be overwhelming for one party. It's a tag team. You say, damn, dude, this dude is, he here, he there, they doing all this. All right, now let's look at her side. So what's going on her side? A lot of times you got the woman doing this, that. She cook clean. She get, you know, whenever he want, bust it, whatever. You know, she take care, make sure he's emotionally secure. See, a lot of people don't even think about these things. They don't even think about it because they don't know what a relation, and I get off relationships. Y'all got to pay me to school y'all about this here. I don't talk relationships for free because it's effective what I'm going to give you. And anything effective is worth being paid for. And if it ain't worth being paid for to you, you may not be serious about your relationship. This is a commercial for my new relationship masterclass. You understand? But relationships is a beautiful thing, but you got to know what you're doing, man. You got to be emotionally aware. You got to know what you bring to the table, what you take from the table. Don't nobody never talk about what you take from the table. Everybody always want to talk about, I bring this to the, what you taking from the table. Because this table might have been all right for you came. And yeah, you added some rolls on the table. You bought some hell of a little rolls, but you took chicken and meatloaf and turnip green. You took all kind of shit from the table and you brought some rolls to the table. And we don't eat bread. You see what I'm saying? These are the important things that nobody talks about because nobody don't got the nuts to speak about. But I talk about. It ain't about what you brought to the table. It's about what you taking from the table. You see what I'm saying? A lot of people say, oh, all you got is money. That's all you got, huh? You ain't doing too good if all you got is money. You know what I'm saying? Because a fool and his money are part ways. That don't mean, I keep telling y'all, that don't mean that one day you're going to wake up and all your money gone. Your decisions will always lead you to part from your money because you don't know anything. To be foolish is just to not know. You don't know anything. So now if they can give you $2 million. 2 years, you'll do something with it and be broke. It's just how this. Listen, this system is set up that way. It's a spending economy. It's a customer economy. That's why people can't sit down in COVID. They natural born consumers and customers. They want to go spend some money. Go, I want to do something. I got to do like me. I want to go do something. But I know what's going. I can tell myself, nah, don't do it, man. It don't make sense. But people are natural born. They're not hustlers. They're natural born customers. I want to go spend some money. I want to go here. I want to go to these people's business. I want to go here and spend some money at this business. You ain't got nobody spending with you. You're a natural born customer. You see what I'm saying? But that's enough game for right now. You know, I'm going to take a break and I'll come back.
After this break, we'll be back breaking the game down with It's Up There podcast. Stay tuned.
Let's talk about the ramifications of the Tekashi 6ix9ine interview with DJ Academics. We still have a situation where stories continue to unfold due to
the level of name dropping and the level of allegations that was spoke about on this interview. So for those of you that don't know, 6ix9ine sat down with DJ Academics and WAC 100. They mentioned Jim Jones, Meek Mill, 21 Savage, Lil Durk, King Von, Lil Tim, Quan. They mentioned so many different names. It's just a, it was a name dropping affair, right? After that, WAC 100 gets on Clubhouse. He gets berated with a bunch of people saying, hey, why would you do this? What's going on? People that he don't respect. See, people got to speak to you. You got to speak to people you respect. And when I say respect, I don't mean, you know, fighting and killing. You got to respect people's intellect and hear them out. So WAC 100 seems to move through Clubhouse with a certain level of, I don't respect what these folks is saying, basically. A lot of the guys, you know, he don't respect nobody gangster because they ain't from where he from. And he feel as though where he from, what he went through makes him a gladiator, right? And so, see, in my opinion, all hoods got gladiators. That's just how it work. You know, ain't nobody moved by having a crash out guy. It, all of us got those, right? So nonetheless, he then brings Tekashi 6ix9ine on Clubhouse. Then boom, he blows the room up. When someone says blows the room up, it means gets a lot of followers coming to that room to see what's going on. So Tekashi goes in, a lot of talking happens. They ask him to this, that, and the third. Now, then Jim Jones come out. He calls Mel Matrix, this WAC 100. WAC 100 comes back, this Jim Jones. We're not getting off that. This then spawned because somewhere along the lines, Tekashi 6ix9ine and Lil Tim hooked up. DJ Academics is saying that Lil Tim's team reached out to say, DJ Academics says that Lil Tim team reached out to say, hey, we want to speak with 6ix9ine. What has been happening is, and let's not put that out there and forget that Tekashi 6ix9ine only followed Lil Tim on Instagram. Tekashi 6ix9ine had Lil Tim as his profile picture, right? So Tekashi was showing certain levels of co-signing, like I'm rocking with you. So Tim reach out to him. I don't agree with it, but that's what he did. So he reach out. Now, in my opinion, he finessed the guy. And this is what we may see start to happen with Tekashi. People just start using him, just draining him, wait till he go broke and then kill him. Now, you know, it ain't my beef, but I'm saying that this is what it may turn into. It may turn into a thing where people, he smile, give me some money, keep giving me money, and dipping on you. Because if you paid attention, he went down to Savannah. I think that's where Lil Tim, Quando, all them from, and met up with them boys in the studio. Now, when he met with them folks in the studio, the mic ain't working. Tekashi ain't got no game. See, if I show up to a studio and the mic ain't working, first thing I'm knowing is, hold up, don't let me turn my back to these dudes and look at the mic. Let me get in the corner. This may be a, but he over there trying to fix the mic, looking, that's he too gullible. He don't even know what they could have cracked him in the back of his head. Bing! Went in his pocket, got him for everything. Like, he just ain't thinking. Oh, he going, and then people probably say, no, I ain't pussy. It ain't about being pussy. They bury the dead, not the scared. And I keep telling y'all, good swimmers drown. So you can't have that level of inconsistency in your ability to understand what's happening around you. When I look at the video, I say another mistake. Look, dude, the dude is walking right into what could be his death. He has no awareness or nothing. If the mic broken is 15 of y'all go get to the mic. Y'all try to figure it out. But when you think, what I'm saying is, Tim already probably called the engineer, hey, yo, make sure the mic don't work. We not doing a song. That's what it feels like. That's what it seems like to somebody like me. It don't seem like he, because how the mic don't work, just think about that. The mic don't work at a studio. But nobody's thinking about that. But even more, what I'm saying is, when you look at how that dude is moving, it don't seem right. Why would you be in there no shirt on? I can see you don't got a gun on you. Are you crazy?
Are you crazy, little skinny dude? And then you over there fixing the mic. He got his head all just, I mean, he just, what are you doing, my brother? What are you doing? But again, not understanding. And that's what's going to lead to the demise if it happens. And then following that, you got Shotty called Academics. And see, Academics don't know how the streets play. So he think a phone call means that we cool. Man, I think it's some people that's drawing the line on Ack, and he better pay attention, man. When a street dude get you to admit something, sometimes it ain't in your benefit. When a street dude call you, let's say I call you, right? And this is what happened to Academics. Shotty called Academics and said, hey, your friend, you really gonna let your friend do that? Academics just like, I'm not gonna back down. He is my friend. He's thinking like, he knows he's my friend. He understands that. He's cool with that. He ain't understanding. I just want to make sure that I'm aligning you with this. But I'm going to continue to speak because the what's happening here is bigger than you, right? So I got to speak back. But I'm making sure you know how I'm viewing this. But these guys are operating. They ain't been in the streets, so they operating without knowing these things, man. But Shotty reach out and say, yo, dude, keep acting like a gangster. He going to get what a gangster get. And that's true. We heard Jay Prince say, you keep campaigning, you're going to get elected. You keep hollering, hey, turn the camera around, no security. Hey, turn the camera around, no, I don't have no security. Ain't no security, this security, ain't no what you doing, my boy? But if you plan on living like that and you think you're a gangster, do what gangsters do. Keep continue to handle your business. My job is to put it down. Their job is to pick it up, you know? So I just wanted to speak about that a little bit. I felt like from the beginning, it was always a finesse, you know? And then the hood pushed back on Tim now. Hey, you with a rat, man. You with the police in the what's name that just put some dudes in the fed. He like, man, I finessed them folk. Man, I took that money, boy. I just went and got me a bag and got out of there. And we know in the hood, niggas is doing that. Dudes is running into the dudes that's the police, robbing them or taking their money some kind of slickly way and going on about their business. That's happening. But at the same time, you got Big U interviewing Quando, and I watched about 25 minutes of that. Shout out to Checking In Podcast, exclusively on Worldstar. Shout out Big U. Shout out Worldstar. Shout out Danny. You know the vibes. Great podcast. I advise people to go check in and listen to it, man. You got a guy that's been at the forefront of the West Coast for a long time, being able to sit down with some of his comrades and explore some of their brains. And when people talk to you, they talk to them from a different perspective, right? They talk to them with a certain level of seriousness. So he should be able to grab some great content along the way, man, and been instrumental in the West Coast and just being somebody that's putting their best foot forward in this game and trying to kind of reverse some of the things that some of the stigmas and some of the things that's been placed at the forefront of all of our names when they mention us, whether that be in the streets or on the beats or in the offices or in the prison or wherever some of us have been, you know. But he sat down with Quando, man, and he was kicking real game to Quando, you know. And, you know, I think the interview is a good interview. You know, I can't really speak too much about what I think Quando is doing. You know, I think Quando's a dude that I look at and I see like one of the little homies in the hood. You know what I'm saying? One of the little wild dudes in the hood. So I look at him and look at him from that standpoint, you know. Them guys had an unfortunate situation happen with some people, man, and you know, it's just how life plays out sometimes. But he talked to him about how he gonna have to navigate for the next couple of years, you know, how he gotta kinda have his
head on the swivel in regards to when he drops certain lyrics and say certain things, how they going to attach it to certain people, even though it may not even be about or considering those people, and just how to try to navigate. And Big, you said something that I said, okay, that makes sense. He said, man, it's down right now, but it'll come back. And he was talking to him about his shows. See, he got a combination of the corona, and he got some threats and some things happening to where people are saying that if he do a show in certain areas, there's going to be certain consequences, and promoters ain't in this game to make money. So if the money's at risk, then we in the wrong business. If I wanted to make risky money, I go shoot dice in the hood, right? And there is some risk involved with any kind of business, but what I'm saying is, these high level of risk when I can just book another person and there's no problems, no alleged people want to come in and shoot it out, right? So he has to deal with that. But Big, you said it'll come back. And what he's saying is maybe at some point the promoters will let their foot off of the neck of being afraid to like book the show, knowing that we'll be secured. And if something happens, it's either, you know, hopefully we can hold it down. You know what I'm saying? So it's going to be interesting to see how he's going to have to navigate in this game moving forward. And we'll be watching to see, you know, them dudes are in an unfortunate situation, man. And he said when they all together, him and all his crib homies, that it don't even feel like it's an issue. They just moving around. So let them boys do their thing. We watching. We going to see what's going on. We're going to check out the podcast. Think he got another episode dropping. He done sat down with some people. So we'll be watching out for that. So let's speak about Soulja Boy going at it with Atari. Soulja Boy has found a way to reinvent himself now to be attached with saying, hey, I'm the first rapper to done this, or I'm the first rapper to do this, right? He's been able to stay at the forefront. Amazing thing, man. When I watch Soulja Boy, it's amazing for me, because I look at him and I don't see what has kept him alive so long. You know, I'm not saying that he's not talented, but when I look at people that's been around since he's been around, and the level of work they've had to put in to sustain a career for that amount of time, when I look at Soulja, now he was influential in changing the game, right? Right when the game was changing, he was right there at the cuffs of it. But I'm very interested in how Soulja Boy has sustained for so long. And when I say sustain, I don't mean making money. I understand royalties. I understand publishing. I understand these things. I'm saying sustain the interests of the people. It's a very interesting thing for me because I don't see it. I don't see what is doing it. You understand? So he had his last situation now. He's had two situations. One with Worldwide World Tour Woo. Shout out to him. He'll be on the podcast today. Well, he's seen him in the mall buying some, or at the kiosk that sells fake jewelry. So they went off and there was a bunch of stuff happening, and he didn't know homie was plugged with some bloods in Compton. So Soulja left it alone real quick when the background check came back. So again, now the other day he came out. Now I'll play both of them. Hold on.
And at Soulja Boy Game, they signed me to a deal to Atari. Big shout out to Atari, the whole staff. I'm about to revamp.
See, that was the first flag. I own Atari. They signed me to a deal for Atari. But the fans don't operate with any information. If they like you, they believe you. If they don't, they don't believe you. And if they don't know you, they wait till someone they know stands beside you, and then they make that decision. It's a weird thing. But that's the first red flag. If you hear somebody say, I own Atari, and then say they gave me a deal, those two things can't live in the same place.
Company, we're going to take Atari to the next level. Everybody go follow at Atari. I am now the owner of Atari. I own the video game company Atari. Ha ha. They was real proud of me and what I did with the Soulja Boy game console. You know what I'm saying? I blew Soulja Boy game up. we about to sell the company for like, was it 100? I think I'm gonna get 140 million. I'm gonna get like 100, I'm finna get $140 million from Soulja Boy Game. So Atari reached out and I just signed a deal with Atari.
Now, I do believe Atari could have reached out. And I do believe that it could have been a conversation to say, hey, let you revamp the company. You're young, you got the new energy, you young black dude, you guys on fire. Maybe you can do something with it. You're selling a thing that has old games on it that's actually moving. We have a lot of stuff sitting here, licensed into a lot of stuff that we can probably use. Good business decision. And he came out to try to do the right thing, but we'll continue.
Who deals with Atari? I'm the owner. The first rapper to own a video game company. Follow at Atari. And we're going to take it to the next level. You know what I'm saying? Just like we did Soulja Boy Game. Follow at Soulja Boy Game. Follow at Atari. Y'all know what it is. It's your boy Soulja Boy. Thank you to my fans. I couldn't have did it without y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Now, there was the first one. Shortly after that, the Atari CEO, or the Atari page on Instagram and Twitter, came out and said, we do recognize that being the owner of Atari is a dream job, but the pleasure goes to, and it tagged the real CEO. And then here's Soulja Boy's response to that. You know how in SpongeBob, they got a few moments later? I'm finna show it to you.
Hold the fuck up. Let me show you this puss-ass contract they sent me. Hold on, man. How I screenshot this put. Y'all got me fucked up. Puss-ass Atari. Hold on, man. Atari. Boom. They got a fucking deal right there, nigga. 1 million Atari. 1 million Atari. All this fucking Atari shit. Matter of fact, fuck this contract. Fuck Atari. Don't call me no more. Don't attach my name to y'all name, bitch-ass nigga. And I still got the money. Y'all sent me two contracts. Y'all said y'all wanted me to bring y'all company back because y'all was proud or what I did with Soulja Boy Game. Here go the contract right here, nigga. From Atari. A million. So you know what? Fuck Atari, nigga. Rip the contract up. Rip the deal up. Suck my dick, nigga. Everybody follow at Soulja Boy Game. Y'all getting exposed. That, what that say right there? Soulja Boy, a million. Nigga, fuck y'all niggas. I ain't got a cap about shit, bitch. I got receipts on everything I do, nigga. That shit say 1 million, Atari, 1 million. And y'all call me, fuck y'all.
So they probably was giving them 1 million shares.
Not thinking about no fucking Atari. Don't call me no more. Leave me alone. Fuck wrong with y'all niggas, nigga. I'm doing good by myself, nigga. I'm in a $6 million mansion, nigga. You fucking white people or Chinese people, whatever the fuck y'all is from Atari, calling me, bothering me. Leave me the fuck alone. Leave me alone. I don't want to help y'all company. I don't want to work with y'all. Leave me alone, because y'all try to make it look like I'm capping, and y'all try to put me on the internet talking about Soulja Boy said he ain't on. Nigga, fuck y'all. Why y'all follow me on Instagram? Why y'all follow me on Twitter? Why y'all call my phone asking me to work with y'all? Fuck Atari, nigga. Leave me alone, nigga. Don't call my phone no more, nigga. God damn, y'all nigga pussy. Follow at Soulja Boy Game. I'm about to make $140 million. I'm finna sell my video game company at Soulja Boy Game. Leave me alone, bro. Y'all clout chasing, nigga. Y'all call me asking me to promote y'all weak-ass company, nigga. Don't nobody know nothing about no fucking Atari, nigga. Y'all call me. I didn't call y'all. Y'all sent me the deal. I ain't send y'all shit. So, nigga, leave me alone. Nigga, don't call me no more, nigga. At Soulja Boy Game. Y'all nigga trying to use us hip-hop artists, use us rappers to promote y'all puss-ass company, nigga. Fuck y'all. Y'all niggas clout chasing, nigga. Get out my dick, nigga. Don't call me no more, nigga. Ask me to promote shit, nigga. Don't call me talking about some help us bring Atari back. Don't call me talking about some we like what you did with Soulja Boy Game. Fuck y'all, nigga. Soulja Boy Gang got more followers than Atari. Soulja Boy Gang selling more consoles than Atari. Fuck Atari, nigga. Don't call me no more, bro.
So you see, you have a contract up there. Like I said, it was probably business there. It just wasn't the ownership. And then when he said the ownership, the owner probably doesn't understand how the internet works. So he gets a lot of calls. Oh, you sold the company, man? What happened? You sold the company? You sold the company? You sold the company? And then he has to respond. Instead of just saying, no, just let him play it. They don't care what he says. Do what the rappers do with him. Just let him say whatever he wants. Nobody cares. Just say it. Yeah, first one to do it all. Yeah, you got it, my boy. Yeah, it's cool. You see what I'm saying? But Atari, them don't understand the internet. So they think it's defend the brand. Get out there and don't, you know, they ain't got good sense. They don't know nothing. You know what I mean? So that was that situation. Now, what else we got? Let's talk about this Brother Polite thing. Something's going on with Brother Polite where he's been charged with some sort of charge that has to deal with sexual assault or something. So I'm not really sure what's going on with that or, you know, how he was charged, why he was charged. But we're going to look into it right now. It came across the news. He gave a response to it, and his response was that he has nothing to say about it. He says if he says something about it, then he doesn't leave people that he paid the room to maneuver around the circumstances. So let's see what the allegations are.
He normally garners attention for his online posts, but now the social media influencer and motivational speaker is making headlines for the wrong reason. NBC 6 reporter Kim Nguyen is live in Miami Beach tonight with more on the arrest of the man known as Brother Polite. Kim.
Yeah, well, Juwan, the suspect surrendered here at the Miami Beach Police Department earlier this week. Police charged him with sexual battery of a 14-year-old girl. We did speak with his lawyer earlier tonight who says that these charges are Police charged him with surrendered
the arrest of the man. Reporter Kim Nguyen is live in Miami Beach tonight with more on the arrest of the man known as Brother Polite. Kim.
Yeah, well, Juwan, the suspect surrendered here at the Miami Beach Police Department earlier this week. Police charged him with sexual battery of a 14-year-old girl. We did speak with his lawyer earlier tonight who says that these charges are false.
This is the mugshot of 37-year-old Michael Nowak Jr., also known as Brother Polite, to his more than 300,000 Instagram followers. Miami Beach police arrested Nowak this week for alleged sexual battery of a 14-year-old girl in a hotel room in February. Police say the alleged victim was the daughter of a woman he was romantically linked to. Defense attorney David Terrace says his client is innocent.
Once the evidence is produced, that he is going to be exonerated. Not guilty, nothing else.
According to the police report, Nowak, a motivational speaker and author who lives in L.A., asked the woman if he could take her daughter to an after party at a club in Miami. The report states Nowak took the teen to his hotel after seeing that the club was closed. Police say the suspect gave the teen alcohol and started dancing and touching the teen inappropriately, groping her breast, inner thighs, and buttocks. It goes on to say Nowak tried to force the teen to perform oral sex on him. The teen allegedly passed out and woke up to Nowak trying to make her throw up.
These are serious allegations, but in any situation, there is always motive. There is always a lot behind the scenes that the public is not going to be able to see.
The report states that the girl's mother found her intoxicated and possibly on drugs with severe swelling on her mouth and lips. It later states Nowak told the mother not to call police because it would ruin his career. Nowak was served with a DNA warrant in June and surrendered to police on Monday. Terrace says the police report is only an allegation.
And Nowak claims to have written more than 90 books. In an interview, he also claims to have several wives. For now, we're reporting live in Miami Beach. Kim Nguyen, NBC 6 News.
You see, they say he claims. That means that they're saying that it's not legal or something. I really don't know, but we're going to look into that a little more and then come back next week. I just had to report that that was the circumstances surrounding it. Again, his response was no response. And that's how we gave it up. Right now, again, if you're listening to this, go subscribe to our new YouTube. It's Up There Podcast, FOGFOTV on YouTube. We need to get our subscribers back up. We need to do that quickly. Share our YouTube, share our Patreon, share our podcast. Excuse me, go and get some merch. Go get some It's Up There Podcast merch. Hit me on the gram. Let me know you got it. Donate, subscribe, share. We in this for the long haul. They ain't stopped nothing. Let's keep going up. It's Up There Podcast. We appreciate y'all.
This is not the Joe Budden Podcast. This is not $1 million worth of game. This is not the Brilliant Idiots. This is It's Up There Podcast with Looney.
Dom DeMarco.